Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Healing Wednesday Circle of 12. I'm Lee Carroll.
And I'm Monica Marani.
This is our once a month free program. It's always a good one. We appreciate our YouTube subscribers tuning in, our Healing Wednesday members tuning in, and all of those of you who are here for the first time. If you're a member, and I say this because if you're not, you should hear this, the members receive replays of all of the shows. There's four a month. They get all four. But I like the fact that the replays they receive are forever, and they get all of them. If you're a YouTube subscriber to my channel and you're hearing this, this also will be replayed, and you can have this one forever, but only one a month. So one time a month we do this, four times a month we do for our members portal. It's easy to subscribe. It's cryonmasters.com. Just go there, and you'll find out how to subscribe. We are streaming. And streaming often carries a little more weight, I would say, than a replay or a movie that you watch on Netflix. It takes a little more strength, and sometimes there are issues. We have had them, you have had them. And so if you have issues with your sound or with your picture or any of these things, just turn it off. We don't want you to be frustrated. Tune in later because there's replays, again, both on YouTube and also for the members. The members, you're going to get a replay in about an hour and a half. So that's the way it works. The program is Monica and I. We're going to start with what you hear we're doing now, saying hello to you. And we're going to have some Q&A questions from our members in the member portal. We're going to have a channeling from Cryon. Then we're going to have an interview, and this is a good one. They're always good ones, but we try to tell you, especially if we have something really special, and we do today. And then we have our Circle of 12 meditation. So you haven't said much.
No, I think you've done a really good job explaining all those logistical things.
Okay.
And because we are answering questions from our members in the members portal, there is still a place where you can ask a question if you're not a member. And that's going to be on the cryonmasters.com. If you visit that website and scroll all the way down, often what happens, you click on a website and then that's it. You just think, well, I can't find it. You have to scroll down. So when you scroll down, it's very clear where you can submit a question for the Healing Wednesday program.
Now, I have another idea.
Lee has another idea. How about that?
Well, things happen, and you probably don't even know it. And this, I'm talking to members. How many of you members have known that we've actually had a place where you can submit questions for some weeks now? We've been trying it out. And I believe, I don't think I'm wrong here, it's cryonmasters.com/questions in lowercase.
I love that.
That'll just get you right there.
That'll get you there as well. Mm-hmm. And for those who are members, you have a membership portal, and within that you can submit a question as well. So, I think it's worth going over what the criteria is for asking a question, because there actually is a criteria.
Yeah, briefly, we want you to ask questions that others might be interested in. Mm-hmm. We're not doing readings here. We don't tell your life story. Make your questions simple and succinct, and then we'll get considered. As you might imagine, we're going to get thousands of questions. So we're poring over all of them and looking for the ones that others, similar questions, and many have asked the same ones. So that's the ones we're targeting right now. So if you write a paragraph, we probably won't read it. That's just the way we've got too many to look at. So make them succinct, make them unpersonal, and they'll probably get used.
Absolutely. So how about we start? And I have picked two similar questions. They're on the very, and I love that. I love that we often get questions that more than one person is wondering about. So the first one is from Helena, and she's in Jakarta, Indonesia. She says, I have given instruction to my cells to slow the aging process. Should I repeat this again after a period of time for, say, a year, or is once enough? And then we have Patricia from Georgia in the US. Her question is this. Cryon says to talk to the cells and give them instructions. Why does he say to do this every day? Why isn't once or twice enough to get the message across? Now, they're great questions. And Lee, I'd love to hear your answer.
I'd like to give one that makes sense to everyone. And I will say this almost every time we do a Q&A. I'm going to spend enough time on the answers that I don't feel like I'm glossing them over just to get more questions in, because this is an important one. We try to select the questions, again, most asked, but also that I think are important because of what has happened. I'd say the difference between the old energy and the new energy. In this particular question that's being asked, it's about repetition, basically. And what is the difference between things that Krein have said in the past where you only have to do something one time, or now where Krein is saying do it every time? Krein has always talked about talking to yourselves, but let's take a look at two really different, I would say, perceptions. One is a decision you make, and another is a relationship you have. Let me be clear. In the beginning, when we started all of these metaphysical things, all of the channels, we were looking at decisions people were making. And the decisions were aha experiences. For instance, you may make a decision that is personal for you and spirit, and you may say, dear spirit, I have decided I am not a victim of this planet. I've decided I am going to have and take my magnificence. That's going to change my whole life. Dear spirit, I'm going to be on board with certain things. That is a decision you make. And Krein said from the beginning, that's heard one time. You don't have to say that every time. You don't have to say every morning, dear spirit, I've made a decision. I'm going to do this. Do you see? That is a decision. It is a metaphysical decision. Don't confuse it with a relationship. I have a relationship with my cells. I have affirmations I'm going to say every single day, because there's parts of your body that need to hear this. You need to hear this. Those who study all of this about consciousness, about what we're actually talking about, this relationship, say that this needs to be repeated. Now, we're not counting beads here. I'm sorry, don't write me letters. I hope that's not offensive to anybody. But that is a process. You simply count beads. You go through it. And that is something that perhaps you've been told to do. A relationship is not counting beads. I talk to my cellular structure personally. I actually do something else. I haven't even talked about this. I congratulate and thank my cellular structure for the kinds of things that I am talking to it about when I see results. I got a relationship. And I do it every day. I don't have to do it. I want to do it because it's a relationship. How many of you have really, understood that this is not something you're talking to a group of chemistry? You are talking to you, parts of you, with your consciousness. So there's an alliance. There is more than an alliance. There is a relationship. There's a great example, and I will tell you. And it goes like this. Woman says to a man, do you love me? And he says, well, of course I do. And she says, well, you don't tell me. And he says, what do you mean? I told you in 2003. Now, does that tell you a little bit? A relationship. You need to make this current almost every day. If you want that relationship to work, be succinct and get results. This is the difference. It also explains affirmations, why you would do those in a repetitive way. Decisions you make with spirit one time, spirit gets it. When it comes to the relationship you have with your cellular structure, over and over.
I love that, Lee. That really has defined it differently for me.
It defined it differently for me, too, because when I take these questions, you realize I'm studying what I would say.
Yeah.
And it's important. We're not taking them on the fly and just doing the best we can with answers. I want to make sure that they're succinct, and so I am sometimes redefining it even for myself so that others will know.
Yeah. So we have time for one more question, and this one is from Mario from Honduras. And Mario is part of our Spanish circle. Thank you, Mario, for your question. He is asking, how can I extract the magnificent, joyful, and empowered experiences of my life and of all that I have come to be? That's a great question, Lee. I especially like the word there is a giveaway. He's saying extract.
He is. And we've discussed this before. Let me just tell you. The words giveaway, I would call a perception that so many have. Let me give you the example that we've given before for an artist who sees a block of granite. All he has to do is extract what isn't there to make the magnificent sculpture. That is what you're doing. You're not extracting the magnificence. You're extracting that which doesn't work. You are magnificent. Now let's get rid of the things that don't work. And the more you get rid of, the more magnificence you see and is yours. Now
I love it because you have totally turned the question around to a different perspective. Instead of going in to pull something out, you're saying it's already there and it's stripping away the layers that stop you being that.
So let's go further. This is the reason for Circle of 12. This is the reason for all of the channelings. It's to extract that which doesn't belong in your life, which is darker than you are, if you want to call it that way, or is not who you are, and throw it away. Also, you might recognize that the Circle of 12 meditation, not the channeling of the day, but the meditation is very similar every time. We are repeating the same kind of things a little differently. But the meditation then is an answer to that first question as well. We're repeating and repeating so that you can sit in the chair, so you can feel it. And the more we do it, it's like exercise, it's going to grow, and this is going to be something that becomes you. And it also serves to extract those things which you are not part of. So it really goes hand in hand, and all of these questions, I think, are part of that same answer.
And I think the only addition I would have is that this journey we're on, it's a lifelong endeavor. I believe that we all have moments where we can slip into what we call duality, where we get angry or mad, and sometimes we can get upset with ourselves for acting a certain way or behaving a certain way. The thing is, this is a lifelong lesson, a lifelong journey, and you do it from repetition and practice, isn't it, Lee?
It is, and even some of the questions coming up that I know that we're going to cover in other meetings, it goes even further than this in perception of how people think it is, as opposed to perhaps the way Kryon and Spirit will tell you it is. And really, truly, it has to do with light and dark. We are magnificent beings. We were born magnificent, and it starts there.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you all enjoyed the answers from Lee for those questions. And I believe we are now getting ready for a mini meditation from myself and Kryon's channel. So I invite you to close your eyes. And I'd like to focus on Gaia. Everything that Gaia gives us is filled with unconditional love and benevolence. So let's take it further. And I invite you to think of one thing from Gaia that gives you such joy, such bliss. It could be puppies. It could be kittens. It could be swimming with the dolphins and whales. It could be a tree. It could be a mountain. It could be a river. Whatever it is from Gaia that gives you just that pure state of bliss and joy, I'd like you to focus on that one thing. Feel that connection you have from a loving planet just for you. And with that deep love, that feeling of gratitude and appreciation, let us send that back into Gaia. Thank you, Gaia, for loving us. Thank you, Gaia, for being here. Thank you, Gaia, for all your gifts that you give us. And I would like you to receive a wave of deep love from Gaia. Gaia is saying to you, thank you, your name goes here, for being here. Thank you, your name goes here, for loving us. And take a deep breath. And allow yourself to soften and melt into the chair. Relax all your muscles in this deep state of appreciation and gratitude. Let us welcome the loving message from Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. Again, we say to you, there is no mystery here. We know who is watching, who is listening now, later, whenever it takes place. We know the ones who are listening only. We know the ones who are watching. And this is because there is a magnificent, multidimensional awareness of God. You know that. How can you have an energy that can hear 10 million prayers simultaneously and know each one? That is that multidimensionality of the creative source. You are part of that, and we have said this. And so this is a message for you. Sometimes we do a series of messages. We will be this month, four of them. And the messages this time will be the catalysts for healing. Not all of them, but four. Four major catalysts for healing. This channel and the other three about this subject will be and are free. This one that you hear now is free as we speak it to everyone. The other three later will be free in an audio version that you can hear, all of you. But let's talk about what this one is and where I'm going. This first one may not be obvious to you. A catalyst for healing is the power of your words. The first catalyst for healing is the power of your words. Let's start at the beginning. Your body operates through chemistry. Now, you might say, well, it does more than that. There's electricity involved. There's a nervous system involved. There are signals sent to do certain things, and there are. But if you take a look at how the body works, mostly it's through chemistry. And the interesting thing about this chemistry is there's far more of it than you ever would realize. Doctors, they go through many, many years of the study of the human body. And part of that is the study of the chemistry. I want you to ask them something that they receive in the way of knowledge almost in their first year. One of the questions might be on a test, how many chemical reactions does it take to move your arm after your brain says an electrical signal, move your arm? And the answer is far more than you can ever know or even memorize. And it happens almost instantly. It's not through electricity, it's through chemistry. One chemical does something, another chemical reacts, it does something, another chemical reacts, it does something. That's just to move your arm. How many chemicals would it take and the reactions thereof for full digestion. Think about it. From the time it goes into your body to the time it comes out in a different form, what do you think is involved there? And you will say, well, a lot is involved, and I really don't know much about it. You don't. You're not designed to, because these things happen seemingly without any thought. If you analyze it, this chemical reaction, the way your body works with all of its organs, with all of it does, from the day you're born to your last breath, the processes are the same. And they go through them and go through them and go through them. And because of this, your perception of your body often is this. The individual grows up, they learn about the body a little bit, they realize they really have nothing to do with it. It just simply works or doesn't. And so many of you will look down at your body and say, I hope you last. It's almost like the only thing that a human has is its head. And that everything attached to the head is something else, and you hope it works. That's the chemistry that you grow up with. And then something started to happen. There was acknowledgement years and years ago that the chemistry that I'm talking about can actually be affected in a positive way by how you think. And that's when you started to hear the phrases, you can think yourself to health. And that is because the psychologists and all those who studied the mind said, you know, we have found out that stress is a killer. And the reason it's a killer is it changes the chemistry. And the chemistry is then out of balance. And the things that you depend upon, the digestion, the reproduction, everything else that seemed to be automatic, seems to be affected by how you think. Fear, stress, all of those things seem to age you more as well. And they started doing studies of those occupations that were extremely stressful, and they saw that the lifespan was shorter. Then they got it. The chemistry of your body doesn't simply work by itself. Oh, it will, but you can affect it. Then the second phase of that came along when they discovered that consciousness is energy. And they started to understand in some circles that you could actually then talk to your body, talk to the chemistry as the boss of your body. And the experiments showed this, and you could talk to those who have studied it and those who are working with it, who talk about the chemistry of synapse of your brain. And they can measure it and see it with the instruments today of how you would then create peace for yourself or coherence for yourself. And the whole body relaxes and the chemistry starts to change. Then they realized you can live longer if you talk to yourselves. It's a premise that so many don't understand. They still look down at their body and just hope it works. I have a parable for you. Woe is a sailor. This is a parable. Remember, parables are not reality. They mean something else. Woe is a sailor, and he's been in a ship as long as he can remember, and he's below decks. Woe does his best with the rest of the crew to take care of that part of the ship that he can take care of. He feeds that which is his cellular structure. He finds food. He cooks. He does whatever. He does the housekeeping of his life and all of that below decks. And that's his job. And he's done it for years. And he can feel the ship beneath him rock. And sometimes it creaks and groans. And sometimes it doesn't. But that's his job. He's a good sailor. And he's been on the sea a long, long time. This is a parable. One day, he realizes the ship feels different. Something's happening. It's not quite a storm, but there's something going on. And he thinks to himself, the captain is going to take care of this. He always does. The ship seems to be all fine all the time. So captain will be there to take care of it, and then the ship starts to talk to Woe. It startled him. Of course it startled him. But he really understands the ship is talking to woe, and it's saying, woe, get above decks. And he says, I've never been there, ship. I've never had you talk to me, ship. And the ship says, we're in trouble now. It's time for you to go above decks. And woe has a decision right now to think he's crazy and say, no, I'm going to do everything I've always done, just like I always have done it. That's what I know. That's what it's going to be. And so I'm imagining the ship is talking to me. Ship, go away. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear voices. I just want to take care of business. But there's part of woe that says, it makes sense. Maybe I should go above decks. Maybe I should for the first time. Even the ladder to get above decks hasn't really been available to woe, but there it is now because he made the decision to go above decks. The ladder appears, the hatch is there. He's timid with this because he doesn't know what to expect. He's always going to meet the captain. He goes up the ladder and raises the hatch, and he sees for the first time the open sea. He sees the ship's wheel that is there, that which steers the ship, and he realizes it's completely and totally unmanned. He looks around to see where the captain is. There is no captain. He looks around for the crew to man the sails. There is no crew. Oh, but it was a sailing vessel, dear ones. And again, he looks at that ship's wheel, and there's no one there. Then he turns to look, and he sees the ship is heading for the rocks, and that was the whole story. That's why the ship talked to him. He ran to the reel, to the wheel, and for the first time, he turned it, and the ship turned. It turned immediately. As soon as he touched that wheel, it's almost like the ship sighed in relief and says, finally, there's somebody at the helm. He asked the ship, he said, you mean all this time there has been no one at the wheel? And the ship said, that's correct. We're in the open ocean. We've been traveling in circles for years and years. We've been fine. But suddenly we're not fine because we're headed for the rocks. And woe, you took control and steered us to safety. And woe, you'll never go below decks again because now you know something you never knew and you can't unknow it. You're in charge of this ship and you're going to steer it to safe passage. Do you understand the parable? The ship is your body. It is the chemistry, and it's always been asking you to take charge. And if you don't, and if there's been no communication, that ship will go wherever it does by default. But if your consciousness is talking to it and talking to the cells of it and at the helm of that ship, dear ones, you have a much longer life. Disease will not attach itself to it simply because the ship is randomly going to different places and doing different things. And that's been provable even by your science. Take charge of this. Your words are so important because now the ship is hearing you and your consciousness say, we're in charge. Do this. Go here. And you do it every single day because you're the captain. Did you get the message? If you do this, healing will follow automatically because now you are in charge of everything. Think about it. This is real. And so it is.
And just take a moment to allow that message to really integrate into the cells of your body. Perhaps even place your hands on your heart. And this is a good time to remind ourselves that your words truly are your wand. I love the reminders we receive from the wisdom of Kryon to be circumspect of the words you choose for yourself, for others, your body. And take a deep breath, relax your hands, And Lee, again, thank you for those beautiful reminders to us. Sometimes those messages have the same theme, but they're presented in a different way.
Often they feel like a review, and yet they're new at the same time, just as you say.
Yeah. So now that our audience is fully present in the body and fully present in the room, we are really excited and delighted that we have joining us Dr. Sue Morta today. And Dr. Sue, are you there?
I am here, yes, indeed.
Wonderful. Well, if you have not heard of Dr. Sue, you are going to be in for an absolute surprise and treat. So we want to share with you a little bit of her background.
We try to make these bios short, and yet sometimes it's very difficult because there's just so much to report. I want to get to her, but just to say she is an international speaker, just putting it mildly, master of bioenergetic medicine and quantum field visionary. She utilizes the embodiment of high-frequency energy patterns to activate full human potential. Now, those are a lot of big words and all. She's going to explain what that all means. She speaks worldwide on the topics of user-friendly quantum science. This I love her already because this has got to be a bridge. Mm-hmm. She is. In bioenergetics, natural healing, human potential. She bridges, and again, these words with an appeal to the senses, or what I will call the gut feeling, what she calls the gut feelings, and the core essence of who we are as human beings.
Mm-hmm. Now, according to USA Today, she is the number one best-selling LA Times author and the number one Amazon best-selling author of the book, The Energy Codes, 7-Step System to Awaken Your Spirit, Heal Your Body, and live your best life.
She's the founder and creator of the globally taught coursework, The Energy Codes. Of course, this is the biggie. Mm-hmm. Multi-level body of work on personal and spiritual development. She also created Body Awake RYT 200 certified yoga program, and something that we have heard before, even from some of our other healers, and that's the BEST, Bioenergetic Synchronization Technique.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Sue was recently recognized for her outstanding achievements as an honored member of the Transformational Leadership Council, and in addition to founding Morta Health Center in 1987, she's the founder and visionary of the Morta Institute for Bioenergetics, which is an organization committed to teaching individuals self-healing techniques. I love all of that, Lee. Yeah. She's been doing this longer than you've been doing Cryon. She's been traveling the globe at the same pace as what we were with Cryon, and all of that stopped a year ago, and she's completely gone online, which makes her even more accessible to even more people. So, Sue, tell us all about your journey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for what you are doing in the world to awaken individuals to the truth of who we are and what is going on here and how we might better implement and integrate those things. It is my great joy to contribute to that conversation in my way. About 20 years ago, I had an opening, an awakening in my own consciousness that was the byproduct of sitting down and trying to learn to meditate. Now, the moment that I started trying to learn to meditate, I began having tremendous transcendental and transformational experiences. And as such, I was opened into a reality that I had no idea about. And I'm actually kind of glad that I had no idea about it, because if I had known that there was another place that we were supposed to awaken to and enliven our awareness in, I would have been so busy trying to get there that I know I never would have, right? It wouldn't have happened, because I'd have been dialed into the try instead of into pure presence. And so I was terrified as a kid. I slept on the floor of my closet growing up because I was just afraid of life. And there was only one direction I had to look if I was, nestled back in the closet. And so the idea that I'm traveling the world and speaking to audiences of 100,000 and those kinds of things are mind-blowing when I stop to think about it. But what happened was because I was intimidated in life, I became kind of a perfectionist. And in that perfectionism, trying to control everything and trying to make it better and make it right, I was very stressed, you know, as you one would become. And so I sought out meditation about 20 years ago as a resource for relaxing, for managing my stress. And instantly I started having transcendental, multidimensional experiences. And I awakened in an instant, high above the earth. I could see the earth beneath me about the size of a marble. And I was embedded into it up to what would have been my knees. But I didn't have knees because I was a ray of light. And I could see 360 degrees around me in a brilliant light, so bright. It was 10 times brighter than the brightest day in the desert that I had ever seen. And it wasn't a light that you wanted to shield yourself away from. Rather, it was what I was. It was something beckoning me into the fullness of my being. And most importantly, I could say that every time I took a breath, this beautiful pink iridescent horizon would rise, and as I would exhale, it would just gracefully fall back into its position. And as I would take another breath, it would rise again, and it would just gracefully fall back into place again. And I knew that this was the true nature of who we are and what it is that is happening here. Now, being trained as a doctor prior to that, I was, you know, of course, very curious as to what was going on here and what was the purpose and how was it going to serve and how could I reproduce it. The felt sensation inside of that state is actually the most important piece that I want to share. And it is this felt knowingness that there was nothing missing. There was nothing broken. There was nothing to achieve or to become. I was completely whole, completely present, and I had always been there. I knew that this was the truth of who I was and that every experience that I was having was just an experience. It was a project that I was engaging in. And so I spent the next 5 years trying to integrate and reproduce and figure out what was happening and why did this opening occur in my life and how was it going to influence me and how could it benefit my patients and work with a healing modality. And between that time frame and the next 5 years, when I began implementing it, I began to determine and to discover how to reproduce this experience for myself. I began sharing that with my patients. And as I did, I started noticing that as they were starting to do some of the things that it required for me to return to that state on purpose and consciously and intentionally, when I would relay those practices to my patients, I noticed they started getting better faster and they were staying better longer and they were needing less in between their visits with me. And pretty soon my practice really became more of a teaching center rather than only physical healing or emotional healing or even spiritual healing. It became a place where people would come to learn about how to sustain these states that they were achieving inside of the bioenergetic work that I was doing. And so I began to teach, and then I began to be called out into the world to teach and speak at conferences and be invited into all sorts of applications of what had birthed in me. Now, what I know is this thing that birthed in me is in every one of us, and that's what I travel the world and teach now, is how to awaken to the true essential self rather than being anchored as and identified as the protective personality, the false self, which is the ego. But I have a tendency not to call it the ego because nobody wants to have an ego. And but when I call it the protective personality, people don't seem to mind having a protective personality. It's like, you know, what could I do? I had no choice. I had to develop these ways of surviving in life. And as I did, I generated this false version of myself that isn't really as full and whole and complete as it could be. Now, I do want to say that only the ego doesn't want to have an ego. So that might be something to think about if it would dawn upon us that's something that we want to kind of, you know, release or get rid of. And what I really want to say about that is that The ego is not something to get rid of. The ego is a version of us that was established as this protective mechanism, and it simply needs to be embraced. It needs to be pulled back into the mix rather than excised and gotten away from. If we ever want to operate inside of unity consciousness, which is where healing and wholeness and health and vitality and our immunity and all other popular considerations exist, it is in the merging back together of all of our parts. I basically describe it like this. When we land here, we sort of splat and we disperse. And in that dispersal, our mind goes one way, our body goes another, our breath goes yet another way. And in the course of our lives, we feel dispersed. And in the midst of that, we develop a way of being. We become attached to the mind because that's the faculty of us that will allow us to make decisions, to protect ourselves, to do all the things that are necessary to feel like we fit in, to feel safe and complete. However, we will never be complete as long as we are identified as the mind. And so basically what I'm doing is teaching people how to peel themselves off of the mind and discover the real version of who we are that has a mind that is supposed to be serving us. So rather than the mind controlling everything that we do with its limiting beliefs and its ideas of how we're supposed to operate, this is a process of unattaching from the mind, putting the mind in its rightful place to serve the soul, and learning to identify as the soulful self instead. So how that translates in life is we end up working underneath the story of our lives, underneath the layer of our being that is the believing machine. You know, we've been focusing a lot in the last several decades on how to identify our limiting beliefs and recognize that it is those limiting beliefs that keep us from achieving or accomplishing or experiencing, the life that we would love to be experiencing. And so then we try to turn those limiting beliefs into more positive, affirming beliefs. And at the end of the day, that actually leaves us still identified as a believing machine, only now having better beliefs that will build a bigger box for us. But nonetheless, it's still sort of a box. So what we want to do is to realize that there's a version of us that existed far before beliefs began to be established in our existence, that we are eternal beings, that we are actually the pure energy of energy medicine. We are the pure energy of the quantum field. We are what spirituality would call spirit, and quantum science would call that misty essence, that liquid aqueous solution that the universe is made of. We are both. And so as we bridge science and spirituality, we begin to realize that those two languages are actually saying the same thing with different words. And so when we recognize that we are the spiritual essence that is coming into form and expressing through this body out into the physical dimension, we could also say that we are the unified field that has compressed itself into physical form. Because we know that all physical form is compressed energy. In fact, everything is only energy. Now, the spiritual world would say everything is God, everything is spirit, everything is heaven on earth if we allow it to be. And the scientific world is now saying, you know, turns out that's true. Quantum science is bridging the worlds between science and spirituality in such a beautiful way. And so as we have compressed ourselves into physical form, we actually literally are the universe. In the work that I'm teaching people, I'm showing them that the stories of every ancient tradition are actually reflections of the human physiology, that every spiritual tradition and every deity that is named in Eastern cultures are actually referring to parts of our brain and parts of our systematic way of living as we've compressed ourselves into an energetic system that is what we call this human form. So when it comes to healing or accomplishing something that we would love to experience in this world, it's a byproduct. The manifestation of that is a byproduct of us being able to masterfully manage this energy and do so in a felt manner, meaning we're not trying to work with the energy in our body. We're here to recognize that we are the energy that is this body and so much more. So I have a few images that I'd like to just hold up and show, because I think it will allow for us to, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words, right? So if that's okay, you guys, I'm going to just...
Absolutely.
Just as you start to hold up things, I hope everybody who's watching this realizes there's replays, because there's been so many profound statements made already that we teach over and over that she is giving so succinctly that please watch this again, because these are gold.
Oh, beautiful. I'm so thrilled that when we tap the truth, there are a million ways to come to that truth, you know, the 1,008 paths, right, to the divine. And so it's such a joy to be able to share it here with everyone today. So this is an image that is the closest way that I can possibly depict what happened with me that day 20 years ago. Here's how I would describe it. I awakened right here. Now, we tend to think that this is who we are, this human self at the bottom of the page in this biofield that I've drawn in here. And we seek spirituality. We seek guidance from, you know, our guides or from, you know, the higher realms, etc. And all of which is a very brilliant choice to make, to seek that support and to recognize that we are not an isolated, separate self. But what happened for me that day was I was no longer this seeking support from this. I was this on a project. So this is who we are, and this is what we're doing. This is who we are, and this is what we're doing. We think, mistakenly, that this is who we are, and this is what we're seeking. Mm-hmm. And the reason we have such a hard time finding it is because this is actually what we are. So what I describe in the book is this quantum flip, flipping the seat that we sit in and becoming this soulful self that is dropping into this bodily experience, into this physical realm experience. And we are rising here. So let me just give you an idea of how this works. There is a descension process that occurs in the compressing of our own system, in the yes that we say that we're ready to embody. We're ready to come into this physical dimension and have this life experience. There is a further compression that occurs, and we descend down into this third dimension. So we drop, we hit the earth, and we rise. Now, when we hit the earth, that splat I was talking about, it occurs right there. And so when we splat and we disperse our energies, we don't have enough wherewithal gathered and collected and in a quickened state. We don't have enough energy to rise up to our fullness, which is the recognition of who we really are. So what happens is we rise as high as we can go, and then the energies start to disperse and they fall around. We take them up again. We try to give rise to ourselves again and again and again and again. And over time, that is what generates this whole physical experience that we're having here. So I'm going to show you a close-up of this version of it in just a moment. But what I want us to get right off the bat here is that the purpose of our life is to be able to descend here and rise all the way up, that this cycling energy becomes so big that it's actually including our highest self, the highest levels of our own consciousness, in the revolving energies that we are utilizing every day. And what happens is we have a struggle getting there until we realize that that's the name of the game. So I have one more picture here for you to show you kind of a close-up of how that works. This energy descends to the earth and it rises, and it is you. It is you. You don't have energy running through your body. You are an energy being, okay? You descend to the earth and you rise. And you rise all the way up through levels of energy, layers, different frequencies of energy that represent different aspects of your own consciousness. So we know the chakra system represents different levels of consciousness, as well as many other influences that they have inside this whole system that we are. So Let's look at it from levels of consciousness. So if I rise up through my rootedness and my wisdom center and my personal identity as a cosmic, universal, multidimensional being, and I rise up through the love that I am and my ability to manifest and my recognition that I am not a human being, I am being human at this time. And there's a big difference there. I'm a spirit energy being human at this time. It starts to take on a totally different context, and it starts to take on a totally different avenue of solutions in our lives. In fact, I ultimately want you to recognize there's no such thing as a problem. The only problem that exists is the belief in problems. And so, you know, we'll get to that. But here's what I want us to see. Here's what happens. Everything is here to allow us to rise up through this state, and this energy cycles back around. We take it back up at the tip of the spine. It rises through the spine, shoots out the crown, cycles around the outside of the body, and this is basic bioenergetics. This is how the energy flows through the physical system. It's constantly being replenished from overhead, from that higher self perspective that we were talking about. It's constantly receiving from that abundance. It's constantly hitting the earth and being grounded and stepped down for human consumption. And then we're constantly rising. And we're here to learn how to rise without any interferences. So that brings me to my next picture here. This is what's happening in our lives. So we rise, and because we don't have all the circuitry in place, the energies that we are, they rise and they find the path of least resistance. And we rise up through the things that we're already good at, and we avoid the things that we're not familiar with, or that we're afraid of, or that we're intimidated about, or that we've been shut down over in the course of our, you know, development. So in this, there are parts of my knowing that this is my gig, that this life experience is mine. It's not a world I'm supposed to be fitting into. It's my world that I'm creating. And if we don't know that and own it, then we circumvent that and we just try to fit in and we just try to do the best we can. And then as we cycle around through the next area, we don't tap our own personal wisdom. We look to our minds to look outwardly and figure out who knows what and how should I follow what they know or improve upon it or what have you, based upon an externalization of our power. And so you can see what starts to happen here. We start circumventing and wobbling, and that circumvention creates a wobble in the rising energy. And that wobble creates a distortion in the energy field. So now this individual is standing here inside of a field looking out through a distortion. They're going to see a distorted world. They're going to see a world that doesn't care, and a world that isn't fair, and a world that doesn't love them, and a world that continues to abandon them, etc. So what I'm doing is working with people to teach them how to build the circuitry right here, that this essence that they are can rise without interference in a perfecting, ever-perfecting manner. And in byproducts of that, we witness people healing as a byproduct of simply focusing on how do I get to what needs to happen here, so that I can build the circuitry, so that I can rise in my true power and in the truth of who I am, be able to bring my whole true self here out into the world in an unaltered manner. So this is who you are. And you're coming down into this world and coming out, right out through this physical body into the world. You're coming through a threshold, a doorway that this physical body is to express out into the world without interference. And so until we learn how to do that, we suffer. Because until we are doing that, we are not living our destiny. We're not identifying as the truth of who we are. We're missing the boat. We're not putting the pieces together. And life becomes very, very painful. So the Buddhists would say that the cause of all pain is attachment. And that attachment is hanging on to beliefs and ideas and identities that aren't the whole truth of who we are. And so the release of that would drop us into this core space where we could begin to where we could begin to identify as this true soulful self that resides more deeply in the core of the being rather than out on the surface of life where we're interacting with the world. In the splat, we disperse and we attach to the mind and we start looking outwardly to figure out, am I safe? Is this okay? Am I going to fit in? What's going on here? And we become externally oriented. Our circuits are put in place to perceive the outer world much more so than to perceive the inner world. However, that is a user issue. It's not by design. It's by nurture, not nature, that that is happening. By nature, we are sensory beings. Science would show us that we are 10 to 100 to 10,000 times more sensory than motor. How that translates is, it is more important that you perceive the truth of who you are and what is happening here than anything that you do. The motor nervous system is about the doing. The sensory nervous system is about the perceiving. So I'm teaching people how to perceive a greater version of who they are.
I'm just going to say, you've hit on so many of the points that we teach over and over and over. And,
she's given the visuals of what Cryon's always trying to teach us.
Can I just say, because I want you to start listening where they can see more here. But just folks, if you're listening and you haven't got it yet, healing is a byproduct of discovering your magnificence. You got that? And so you arrive magnificent, and she's saying, and we split out. This is exactly what we've talked about. We're now collecting energy to find our magnificence. That's what the Circle of 12 is all about. That's what's going across the bridge is all about. And in the process, healing is a byproduct. It's one of the most profound things I can say. This is what she's teaching. And if you want to know more, Sue, how are they going to find out?
Oh, well, they're going to find, they can find so much. We have so many online courses, et cetera, at drsuemorter.com. It's drsuemorter.com. I have online coursework, and if and when we get to gather again in groups, I do in-person workshops all across the world. I go to sacred sites and take people to sacred sites and do all kinds of meditative practices and those types of things as well, all as an attempt to enliven the memory of the truth of who we are, to activate, reactivate that memory. I also teach yoga called Body Awake Yoga, and the purpose of that is to anchor the consciousness back in the core of the body rather than being out here on this dispersed outer layer of who we are and trying to navigate life. When we begin to find this deep core center and anchor ourselves here, we have a real opportunity to sense and feel and perceive. But if we're not living in the body, it's very challenging to feel what the body is trying to relay to the mind. Here's the order of how it works. The soulful essence, this true self, speaks to the body, and the body speaks to the mind, and the mind doesn't listen. It's busy writing stories. Right? I'm just like, I'm out of here.
Sounds like some of our worst ex-relationship partners, right? They just don't listen.
Right. It's busy deciding, you know, what went wrong and what did they do wrong and how can I avoid people like that in the future and all the things that we've defaulted into doing for survival purposes.
There is so much here, Dr. Sue. Yes. Thank you. I can just tell why people love your work so much. If you are one of these who say, wow, there's just so much here. Again, I want you to play it again and hear it again. All of you can. Also, there are books about it. And Dr. Sue, we're out of time.
Oh, my God.
Believe it or not.
That's crazy.
And this has been remarkable. Thank you again for being with us. And I almost hate to say goodbye at this moment because I feel like we've opened the door.
Yes.
To some really marvelous work. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm bowled over by something I didn't realize that was there, and that is all of this body of work that you have.
Well, the most rewarding part of it is I came out of physical medicine, mm-hmm. And so I'm all about getting results. Like, how do we take these concepts and do something with them? And so the body of work that I'm teaching people is literally how to build those circuits, how to anchor in the body and build the circuitry. Because when we have a reaction to someone, or when we have our buttons pushed or our triggers tripped, mm-hmm. There's a reason for it. And it's because that energy is hitting those areas where we don't have the circuits, and it's trying to go around them.
That's right.
We literally can feel that in the body when it's happening. We get a knot in our stomach or a lump in our chest or knot in our throat or whatever. And it's all a byproduct of the body trying to tell the mind, hey, you're not operating in here the way that you could be and the way that you should be. And if you would be, we would be feeling differently and responding differently out in the world. So it's my greatest joy.
Well, thank you so much, Sue. It's been an absolute pleasure and delight. And I really look forward to seeing you again. I'm sure I can feel that
me
happening.
Too. Right.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we are out of time, and we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll see you again very soon for the Circle of 12. Well, welcome back from the break. Hope you enjoyed that last section. Lee and I, we were talking in the break how delighted we are to be having healers come on this show that are really bridging between science and spirituality.
It's true.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So any other thoughts, Lee?
Only I'm so delighted when we have these guests mm-hmm. who are so powerful mm-hmm. and have done so much. And I'll just tell the folks, some of these wonderful healers and these processes I have not been aware of at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. And this is I'll get my first exposure at the same time you do in these interviews, and I still catch my breath and go, whoa. And that I didn't know that was going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just love how our community is just getting richer, mm-hmm. I think. Richer and expanding, and I love it. So, Lee, I think it's about time we move into a meditation.
Let's do it.
And do the Circle of 12. So as we prepare for the Circle of 12, let us begin by honoring our journey that has brought us to this exact moment. Take a moment by honoring and giving thanks to your ancestors and to those that you have loved and lost. I invite you to feel them here with you now, celebrating your magnificence. Your soul is eternal, and it exists everywhere and nowhere at the same time. It is pure, multidimensional energy. It is sacred energy beyond anything you can ever measure. The love part of your soul is what you feel and sense. You have the ability to integrate your soul. As we prepare to continue to the Circle of 12, let us affirm our willingness to connect with the God inside. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I give permission to experience the grandness of my soul. I am ready.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon. I invite you to come closer. This invitation to come closer is the perceptual crux or focus of the Circle of 12. These meditations are about an integration of all that you think you are to become closer with those things you don't even think exist, to open a door that you didn't even know was a door. Multidimensional things are like that, and we say this so often, that we are inviting you to do something that is not commonly asked of you to do. In faith, without intellectual pursuit, to start to feel things that are true and accurate instead of having to prove them in a three-dimensional way. That's what we're asking. Today's channeling was about chemistry. It was about a chemistry that seems to be completely and totally apart from who you are. Your consciousness ponders great things. Your consciousness ponders the world, your survival, your systems, the rights and the wrongs, the dark and the light. Your consciousness ponders wonderful things. It doesn't spend a lot of time pondering your liver. It doesn't have to, because you see, those things are taken care of, aren't they? And chemistry just does what it does. And if you were paying attention to the channeling that came earlier, you're realizing that perhaps you ought to think about a perceptual change where you start pondering the chemistry of your body. Here's where it gets good. Research has shown that these very molecules of the chemicals that make up your body surprisingly have a multidimensional aspect. Indeed, they have been shown through some experiments of the quantum biologists that they're more than 4D and 3D, that there really truly is an aspect of multidimensionality. And that means that your consciousness, which is also multidimensional, can shake hands with your chemistry in a way you didn't think was possible. We have told you to talk to your cells, now you know why. It's more than talking, dear ones. It's consciousness loving your cells enough to say, I love you. I'm going to say it today and tomorrow. Congratulations for being with me. Now, let's move life together. Count every other day in your body clock so we're going to last longer. Dear cells, we're going to be out of stress. I'm going to do everything I can to support that which is my liver, which is anything else, which is my foot, which is my knee. All those things which belong to you are made up of pieces and parts of the chemistry. All of them have a multidimensional aspect. Welcome to the Circle of 12, a place where we ponder things which are multidimensional. A time when we're going to, in a moment, cross a bridge, figuratively, into a multidimensional land, figuratively, where you will start to choose to awaken or not to another kind of a concept. Is it possible for you to touch your soul? Are you allowed to touch your soul? This is not on, I would say, any kind of doctrine of any belief system in the planet. The doctrine is more of history and rules, is it not? It tells you the shoulds, the do's and the don'ts, and they don't talk much about touching your soul. But that is what this is about, and it's not a doctrine. It's an experience. It's a belief. Yes or no? Is it possible that this particular energy that's been developed since 2012 is different? Is it possible that humans are now able to and invited to cross a dimensional bridge that will put you then in touch with that which has seemingly in the past been untouchable, the essence of your very soul? You're taught from many who are spiritual leaders, perhaps, that that is not what you're supposed to do. In fact, that's too little too sacred. They'll say, well, your soul is given by God and your human body is where you're living. And then when you stop living and you take your last breath, you'll be with your soul again. Almost like it's completely and total apart from you. Now we're telling you it never has been. You walk around with your soul. That Merkaba, that huge energy which is yours, has always been yours. It just hasn't necessarily been something you think much about because you've always been told it's separate. It doesn't talk to you much, does it? Unless you talk to it first. Another premise of Kryon. Your soul, all those things, all that multidimensionality, all the profound love of spirit sits there loving you. And you have free choice to see it or not. But when you do, and when you start to touch that door and knock on it and take that hand, things start to change because spirit goes, she's looking, he's looking, let's go. Waiting for you to decide whether it's real or it's not real. That's what's going on. When you start talking to the chemistry of your body, it's the same. You're going to get a reaction. This is not an esoteric promise. This is chemistry. Dear ones, those who have done this and have been successful at it are evangelical in this because they know it works. And if they could face off with you, they'd say, it works, and we didn't believe it until we did it. And when we started communicating with our body on a regular basis, things started changing. We could feel it. And then they'll tell you something else. That their perception changed when they got results. And now they know something that they didn't know before. They got an awareness of what they could do, that there was more out there. And the premise, again, of Kryon, you can't unknow anything. There's no delete key in your brain that will erase an experience you have. And if you've had an experience that leads you to this multidimensional point, you can't undo it. Oh, you can deny it. Then you're in denial. But you can't unlearn it. And so that's why when you have it and you realize it and it starts to happen and there's an experience, you relax into it and go, I know what I know. This has worked for me. There is so much more I didn't know. And you'll say, thank you, Spirit, for turning on the light, that I might see these things in a different way, a different way. There's a bridge before you that I invite you to cross with me. It's always there. This circle of 12 is a meditation. We always do the same thing. It's a little different, like any meditation is a little different. There are different words, there's different awarenesses. A little different than a channeling, where there's always new information and there's things to do and places to go and teaching. And this is not that. This is an experiential meditation. The circle of 12 that I lead you to. I know what's possible here. When you get to the other side of that bridge, I know what's possible. I know there are experiences that will reverse disease there because it can't remain there in your body when you have an awareness of the light and there is no light now. I know things that have happened in the past when human beings have had this kind of an awareness when they didn't before. I have seen and you have seen and you have heard of the spontaneous remissions and all of those things. This is on the other side of the bridge, and eventually there will be no bridge, dear ones. Did I tell you that before? The bridge separates the known from the unknown. What you are, what you think you are, all the things you believe, crossing a bridge into that which you don't even know exists and violates, perhaps, some of the realities you've been told are possible or not possible. You don't cross the bridge with a clipboard. You don't cross the bridge checking off things that you know or don't know and coming back and verifying them later. That's not what we're doing. That's all 3D. When you cross the bridge, you're wide open. You've got to be okay with things you don't understand. If you're going to be intellectual and say, I have to see it, know it, and understand it before I go there, it isn't going to work. We told you this before. I want you to cross the bridge with me. Come to the middle of the bridge and you'll see again the mist that's always there. The mist is there. It's a fog that hides what's on the other side. So you can't use your intellect to peek there and come back and go, I'm not going to go today. Or, oh yeah, I'll go today because it's okay or it's not okay or the sun is shining or it's not shining. You're going to go into that fog prepared for the unknown, knowing it's a safe place because it's you you're going to see. A piece of you that's more magnificent than you thought that you're going to see. An experience which enhances you. And so many are afraid only because it's so different. Come with me right now and walk through the mist right now. Take my hand. On the other side of this bridge, there's anything you want. Multidimensionality is that way. Don't be shocked or surprised if you don't understand everything I'm going to tell you. I speak in metaphors. I always will. Almost all spirituality is given to you in metaphors, in quatrains, in verses that mean something else. This means something else. We're going to go into a hall where there's a theater. You're going to pass through a door, which some of you think is a portal. It really is the entrance to the unknown. It's your giving permission not to understand what's coming, but to know it's real. Can you do that? Don't understand it, but I know it's there. Can you do that? Most of you do that daily with technology. You use things you don't understand, but you know it works. This works. Come with me to that theater in the round, that sunken theater in the round where you are going to climb up the stage after you've gone down the stairs in this sunken theater. The audience, you don't know who's going to be there. And it changes from day to day, from time to time, from meditation to meditation, just for emphasis. If you can't visualize it, then simply sit and feel it. Spirit wants you to get this. So if you can't visualize it, that doesn't mean you can't get it. Spirit says, well, then don't do anything but sit and be loved. You can do that, can't you? Can you sit and simply feel? But for those of you who can visualize, come down the stairs with me, climb the stairs, and get in the chair. We've done this for months. Once a month, twice a month, three, four times a month, we do this. We sit in this chair and we ask you to visualize sitting in the chair. There are some who say, well, I can't really visualize anything. Really? Can you visualize sitting down? Is that too much? And you say, well, no, that's fine. I can visualize sitting down. Stop. Sit down. Can you visualize someone saying beautiful things to you and congratulating you or even washing your feet? Is that too hard? That's very 3D. And you say, no, I can go there. Then stop and just do that. Just do that. Let us simply love you. For the rest of you who can visualize anything I'm telling you, I want you to see the audience coming in. I'll tell you who they are. Every single member of this audience is a human being who has changed their lives because they have talked to their cells. They've had disease in remission. They have had peace where there was none. They have erased their life from the fears and the anxieties they'd had. They've dropped unforgiveness. Every single one of these is a champion of energy in that way. They've done it. They learned how, and they do it daily, every one of them. And dear ones, there's tens of thousands of those. And they're going to sit in the audience and look at you because that's what you're here to do, and that's what you're here to learn. They're sitting in the audience. And now it's time for you to talk to yourselves. What are you going to say? Once you start like this, dear cellular structure, dear chemistry, I'm here finally to take the wheel of the ship. I'm here and I understand that this is now possible. Please join me. Thank you, cellular structure, for the love that we have for one another. This is the beginning of our relationship for the rest of my life. And if you think, well, this is really hard, crying, I can't talk to a molecule, I'll tell you that that audience is now going to support you, and they're going to start yelling suggestions. They're going to start writing things on pieces of paper, throwing them off on the stage, because they know it's possible and they are in love with you because you are endeavoring to do what they have done. Every one of them has done this, and they're there to help you. Some of them may even come up on stage and start talking to you. Why don't you try this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you hold our hands? I got a process. I got something else. They'll say, I had trouble for a while, but now I'm fine. That's who the audience is. You got support. You think it's crazy? You think it's impossible? You got support. There's validity. There's others who have done it. They're here to help you. This is the beginning of something beautiful. Sit. Just sit and experience them showing you how to discover your own magnificence and extend your life, chase away all the things that don't belong in your magnificence. Stay. Stay. And so it is.